Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Have you ever had to lay a complaint against a financial services institution? And perhaps you didn't find much joy after looking to resolve your challenge and issue with them. Well, this is where the Ombudsman typically comes into play. And for many of us, we'll be well aware that the recent establishment of the NFO, the National Financial Ombuds Scheme of South Africa, is now a conglomerate which incorporates banks, credit providers, short-term insurers and long-term insurance providers too. Essentially, creating a one-stop shop where should you have any concerns or complaints that you'd like to lodge against these kind of players in the financial services industry, you go to a one-stop shop and then you redirect it to the most appropriate ombud in order to assist you. Well, before this was established, though, we were aware that the short-term insurance ombudsman had its own and independent office. And typically, year after year, they would share some detail and insight with us to fully comprehend the kind of complaints that they've received in the last year. Well, today we're going to review this just to get some detail on our behaviors as consumers. What do we raise concerns about? How often is it that the ombud is able to return adequately and appropriately to us the financial damages or concerns that we've raised and lodged against our providers? You're welcome to join this conversation. Your voice notes are welcome on 063-688-0959. But to help us unpack some of the insight and data from the last year, we join now by Senior Non-Life Adjudicator at the National Financial Ombuds Scheme, Peter Nkuna, who joins us tonight. Such a pleasure to have you, Peter, and welcome to the show.
Good evening, Google, and good evening to the listeners.
A great evening to you. Peter, if I was your grandmother, I would be so perplexed by the meaning of your title, Senior Non-Life Adjudicator.
But as a matter of fact, it's a good thing you raised that I was concerned. It's actually supposed to be Senior Adjudicator, Non-Life Division. Somebody must have gotten it wrong, sir.
Got you. Senior adjudicator.
Non-life
division. And maybe just before we get into the data, let's unpack what this means, because then it will help us understand your role and function within the institution.
What we basically do is receive complaints, which would then be processed, and they end up with adjudicators who then conduct investigations to see what transpired in the handling. Usually it would be claims that complaints will be based on. And upon completing the investigation, we would then adjudicate as to what is the correct outcome, which could be either the insurance company made the right decision when it took whatever decision it did. It could be that they handled the matter incorrectly or unfairly, and will then make sure that the right outcome is achieved, and that will be what happens at the adjudication stage. And then, of course, there is the escalation process that one may also embark upon if the initial stages do not yield outcomes that the complainant is happy with.
100%. So you actually hold a significant role in helping South African consumers like ourselves out, because essentially if Google has a problem with insurance company X, you look at the case, the exchanges I've had with the insurance company, the outcomes that the insurance company found, and my complaints as a customer about that particular insurance company. And I think this is so important, again, that we also do refocus this on non-life, essentially meaning that your focus would be on short-term insurance. So the insurance that we have on tangible items and assets, right? Our vehicles, our homes, and any other assets that might apply.
That is correct.
Fantastic. Peter, let's take a look at this report, because from what I understand, it shows some interesting findings with regard to the year 2023, specifically the financial year. And maybe let's just start by reviewing the number of complaints that was received by your office.
Yes, we received about 12,000 complaints, and they typically, as even in this year, would comprise mainly of what we call the motor book in the insurance context. Mm-hmm. And basically that would be anything in relation to motor cars. Mainly even in that sphere, it would be in relation to accident claims. Secondly, we also have a lot of complaints around motor warranty policies and theft claims. And then second to the motor book, we deal with a lot of complaints that come in relation to buildings or homeowners policies. And there, the bulk of complaints tend to relate to claims in relation to damage as a result of acts of nature. A lot of complaints also in relation to burst geysers and water apparatus, so that could be pipes and things like that at your home. And then there's also theft and burglary claims that follow that. And the third main component of complaints that we receive comes from commercial or policies, commercial policies, and the trends tend to follow more or less what you get with your what we call domestic or personal lines products. That is where you and I as consumers would be. Commercial is more your business type of policies. And there again, you'll see motor coming up first, and then what we call combined buildings following. And then, yeah, so those are sort of the main types of complaints that we deal with.
So clearly it seems as though our homes and our vehicles, two assets that we typically spend the most time in and use quite frequently, see the most number of complaints. I'm keen for you just to give us a walkthrough in terms of, you know, how long some of these complaints actually take to work through and how many of them might be settled. And maybe if you also add some color around the typical complaints that are received and where the shortfalls are. That might also help us understand the kind of detail and investigation that then influences whether the case would be resolved quickly and whether the customer would be due for recourse.
Our turnaround time is meant to be 120 days. That is what we hope to resolve at least most of our complaints, or at least at the average level. If we hit 120 days, we would be happy. But in the last year, we only managed to resolve most of our complaints within 142 days on average. If we were to put it purely on working days basis, that's about 97 working days. Most of them do get to be finalized within 6 months. But of course, depending on the complexity, we may require additional information. The information might not necessarily be readily available or forthcoming from the parties, which could then result in delays. And then, of course, as I said, because of the complexities as well, it could take longer to get the matters finalized. And insofar as the types, I did mention that motor, it's mainly accident claims. And perhaps just in the one of the main areas of contention is what we call the due precautions clause in the policies.
What does that mean?
I think we may have had discussions around that. Basically, this is where the insurance company says, no, we're not going to pay out your claim because you behaved in a reckless manner and that resulted in the loss being suffered. So in a way, you were the cause of the loss in terms of how you behaved. Gotcha. And that would therefore not qualify as an insured event.
If I can jump in there, Peter, would a simple example be, you know, driving under the influence of alcohol, speeding in a zone that above the speed limit? Would that be an example?
Things like that, yes. Gotcha. In fact, speeding is one of the main ones I was about to add. Uh-huh. And that is where we had a lot of our complaints. The second one is misrepresentation and non-disclosure. This is basically where the insured or the complainant did not provide accurate information either regarding the risk when the item was placed on cover. Alternatively, at claim stage, a lot of times people do not tell the truth regarding how the damage occurred, things like maybe I consumed alcohol before driving and ended up in an accident, and therefore I hide the fact that I consumed alcohol or that I was speeding, things like that. Sometimes it's people just not being very forthcoming with information. So instead of lying outright, I just withhold information, and that's where non-disclosure comes in. Mm-hmm. We also have a lot of them being around the amount claimed. So somebody wants 10,000 rand and the insurer pays out only 5,000 rand, and then we need to find out why and how, and if that is something that can be resolved, we would then pitch in and come to some kind of a resolution. And very interestingly, recently we also had a serious increase regarding the issue of non-payment of premiums on the motor side. And it speaks to the economic conditions that we find ourselves in. A lot of people perhaps not finding it as easy to afford premium contributions on a monthly basis, and then every once in a while skipping a month and things like that. And perhaps in that 1 month when you didn't pay, you then suffer a loss, and somehow people think they can still be accommodated. And unfortunately, it doesn't always work out that way. And yeah, on the building side, it's again what we call acts of nature. Most of the time that claims would be based on storms, floods, rains, hail, things like that. Best geysers and pipes. And thefts and burglaries are also a significant part. And again, here, I think I would link this with the economic conditions as well. What we find is a lot of the claims tend to center around gradual deterioration, wear and tear, maintenance or lack of maintenance, meaning that because we are struggling again, we don't conduct maintenance on our properties, and then something wrong happens and we want to claim it under the insurance.
Yes.
And that leads to dispute as well.
And Peter, what about load shedding? Did that play any influence? And I only ask because at some point, some insurance providers were saying, hold on, if there's load shedding, we cannot be held responsible if the security within your fixed property doesn't function and could potentially result in a loss. Did that come through at all?
Indeed, that is one of the main themes that I have noted for discussion. Although in our context, we wouldn't necessarily refer to it as load shedding, but there's a correlation between load shedding and power surge, which is what we would note it as. So a lot of times when there is load shedding, what then happens is people's goods may be damaged when power returns because of the fluctuations in power. And a lot of times then people put in claims. Sometimes what we find is that Peter had an old TV that broke down and then wants to put in a claim using power surge and load shedding as the reasons why. And unfortunately, the technical guys go there, have a look and see that, no, this is not related to that. There is something else wrong. And that's where the investigations that we're talking about would come through. And because people with the know-how would then look into that item, dismantle it, see what was wrong, and then issue reports. And based on the reports, we can then say, and this is what is probably the correct outcome, and make rulings accordingly.
100%. Peter, this is so insightful. There's a lot more detail that we can get into, but I'm certainly hoping we can get you back on the show just to fully comprehend the extent of research, knowledge, know-how, and detail you need to have and know as an adjudicator in your particular space. Because reading through case by case, evaluating who's in the wrong, where the disclosures were, how to investigate some of the nuances must be quite an interesting task. So you have a very specialized skill. Thank you for your time this evening.
Thank you, Gabby.
Thank you. That's Peter Nkuna, who is a senior adjudicator in the non-life division of the National Financial Ombuds Scheme. In other words, when you as a consumer submit a complaint against your insurance provider when it comes to short-term insurance. So think about all the tangible items you can own, your home, your car, and any other items and valuables like your laptop. Peter is essentially one of the senior adjudicators who would read through your case, debate and liaise on it with several team members to evaluate, hold on, is Gugu in the wrong here as the customer, or did the insurance provider fail to actually provide Gugu with the necessary cover or meet the requirements of this particular case? Interesting job, right? I think we need to do an interesting feature on jobs of interest in the future. Yep, definitely want to note.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.